Do I really need to do this? It's like the same message every year. Let's turn to Luke. Actually, today I'm looking at John. John chapter 1, verse 14. Just one verse. Oh, good? Okay, there we go. Verse was read during the skit, but I will read it one more time. It's just one verse. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what I feel like doing? This is only one verse. It's really short. And just to encourage a little bit of participation from the whole group, let's read it together, all at the same time. John chapter 1, verse 14. The verse is on the screen behind me. 1, 2, 3. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. This is God's Word. Well done. Well, of course, today we're celebrating Christmas. That's obvious from the wreath and the beautiful lights and the backdrops and the decorations. I want to just acknowledge a lot of folks who worked very hard to even set this room up. We had some people who stayed up very late last night and who woke up very early in the morning and who came very early to set all this up. This did not happen just by accident or by coincidence. There's a lot of time and effort and planning that went into it. And so thank you, for example, to our worship team and our facilities ministry, our food ministry, and our RCC Kids volunteers who set up this room here to make it look as beautiful as it does. We're celebrating Christmas. There's a lot happening here. There's a lot that's already happened. So I'm going to try to keep this short. I titled today's sermon, Advent, God's Greatest Word. And I chose to use that term, word, because John uses it here in the verse we just read. The word, that word, word, is a key term in this chapter. In fact, just in the first verse alone, thanks, Sherman, in the first verse alone, it's used three times. Okay, we heard this verse read in the kids get as well. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now, there's a lot I could say about this, but again, I'm going to try to keep it short, and I'll just note that the Word here in verse 1 is Jesus. Okay, that's what the skit said too. The Word is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Now, with this simple, short sentence, we have one of the most important, one of the most profound declarations of both the uniqueness of Christ and also the divinity of Christ. Hey, Jesus has existed since the beginning. And by the way, that phrase, in the beginning, is a deliberate echo to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay. Jesus has existed since the beginning. Jesus is also somehow distinct from God the Father because He was with God. The Word was with God. So distinct from the Father in some way, and yet Jesus is also fully God. The Word was God. Now, for our purposes this morning, I want to focus on the verse that we read together for our scripture reading, John 1:14. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now think about what this verse is saying. The eternally pre-existing Word, the Word that was there in the beginning, the eternally pre-existing Word became flesh. The fully divine Word became a fully human baby. God Himself entered into time and space as a fully human being in order to dwell among fellow human beings. And that's what we're celebrating today. This is what Christmas is all about. We are celebrating the arrival of God's greatest Word on that first Christmas morning in Bethlehem. This morning, I want to offer just three quick Christmas reflections as we celebrate the Word becoming flesh. First, I believe you can learn the Word becoming flesh affirms what I want to call the dignity of humanity. The Word becoming flesh affirms the dignity of humanity. When God was finishing His work of creation, all the way back in the beginning, the book of Genesis tells us specifically that He created human beings in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Now, this here is one of the most important affirmations of the dignity and the preciousness of human life in all the Bible. Every single person has intrinsic value and worth because he or she is created in the image of God. This is true of every human being. And yes, that includes you. And I know it's hard to feel that way sometimes because we will often try to define our value in different ways. How smart we think we are or not. Or how good looking or popular we might think we are not. Or how talented we think we might be or not be. And there are times when we let the opinions of others dictate our sense of worth. What people say about our performance at work, or what they say about our kids, or what they say about the people that we choose to hang out with. So maybe it's hard for you to believe what the Bible says here about you having innate dignity and value as an image bearer. But think about this. Jesus, the Son of God, became a full human being. Jesus, divine Word, became flesh. What more could God say than that to affirm the dignity of humanity? He was willing to become one of us. And in becoming a fully human being, Jesus was willing to experience all of the hardship and all the pain that many of us have experienced. Jesus knew, for example, firsthand what it felt like to be hungry. He knew what it felt like to be tired. There were times when Jesus knew what it felt like to experience genuine fear. Jesus knew how it felt to be disappointed. He wasn't afraid to show His anger at the proper moment. Jesus experienced what it felt like to be betrayed. And there was even a moment when Jesus was completely abandoned by all of His friends. When you go through some of those moments, you might wonder whether or not your life has any real value or worth. But we need to remember in those times that Jesus Himself went through all that and more as a fully human person Himself. So the Word becoming flesh affirms the dignity of humanity. Okay, that's one of the lessons for us on this Christmas morning. Now, let me go to our second reflection. The Word becoming flesh affirms the dignity of humanity, and the Word becoming flesh also affirms the fallenness of humanity. The Word becoming flesh also affirms the fallenness of humanity. Okay? If our first reflection touches on the question of what happened on that first Christmas, the second reflection focuses on why it happened. Okay? Humanity does possess inherent dignity as image bearers, but the unfortunate reality is that this same humanity is also fallen. Ever since sin entered the world, as we saw in the skit back in Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, when the very first man and the very first woman chose to disobey God, ever since that fateful moment, humanity has been living in fundamental rebellion against our Creator. And we've been suffering from disharmony with one another, even with the creation that surrounds us. And this is why we have horrific things like injustice or oppression or violence or war, and even natural calamities like famines and earthquakes and hurricanes. All of these horrific realities are a part of life because the world as we know it, the world as we see it today, is in an abnormal state. This is, my friends, the Bible's answer to that age-old question that confronts every worldview. Why does evil, why does suffering exist in our world? Every philosophy has to face that question. And the Bible insists that, well, the truth is, we're the problem. Human beings, in our fallen nature, we are the main problem. Now, there are many worldviews that will admit that human nature does have a darker side. Okay, we are the problem, but many of these worldviews will also argue that we can be the solution. Okay? We need to simply look within and find our better selves, find our inner light. That's how we will save ourselves. The Bible has a far more pessimistic view of the human condition. The Bible says we cannot save ourselves by trying to find our inner light. The Bible says we can't save ourselves, period. The Bible says salvation does not come from within us. Salvation has to come from without us, from somewhere else, from someone else. The Bible insists salvation does not come from finding our inner light. Rather, salvation comes from the true light who came into the world on that first Christmas. Salvation comes through God's greatest word who became flesh and lived among us. So the Christmas event makes two important claims. On the one hand, the word becoming flesh affirms the dignity of humanity, but on the other hand, the word becoming flesh also affirms the fallenness of humanity. And I know those two realities seem to contradict each other, but if there's one thread that they share in common, I would say that thread is love. It's love. And that takes me to my third and final reflection this morning. The word becoming flesh affirms the dignity of humanity. The word becoming flesh affirms the fallenness of humanity. And finally, the word becoming flesh also affirms God's love for humanity. It was God's love that compelled him to create human beings in his image in the first place. It was God's love that fueled his willingness to send his son to be born as a fully human being in order to save a fallen humanity. And just a couple chapters later, John would affirm another magnificent truth in perhaps what is the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world, for God so loved fallen humanity, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This Christmas morning, we celebrate many things. We celebrate God's greatest word, Jesus Christ. He became flesh as an affirmation of the dignity of humanity and the fallenness of humanity. God's greatest word becoming flesh is also the ultimate expression of his divine love for humanity. It's the expression of his commitment to save a fallen humanity through his son who would one day suffer and die for all who would believe in him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the great and amazing truth of what happened on that first Christmas morning. The word becoming flesh. The ultimate declaration of human dignity and value. When God himself became an image bearer. Lord, for anyone here who struggles to find that sense of dignity and worth, may they look to you, their creator, and sense the incredible value, the preciousness that you see in all of us. Lord, we also acknowledge ever since that fateful moment in Genesis chapter 3, though we still possess inherent dignity, we are also fallen. We are unable to save ourselves. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you came to do what we could not do on our own. You came to live that perfect life that none of us could live, completely, flawlessly obeying every single commandment in your law. We thank you that you died in our place, taking upon yourself the penalty that we deserve, though you had done nothing wrong. We thank you for rising again, proving once and for all that you hold keys of victory over sin and death. And Lord, we thank you that one day you will return in your second advent. You will complete work of salvation. Jesus, we thank you that when we choose to put our faith in you, we can share in that victory. We can find forgiveness. We can find salvation. We can find the true light that overcomes darkness within us, darkness in our world. We give to you all the praise, all the worship for what you have done as an expression of divine love for this world. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to our worship team. We're going to sing a song of praise to finish our time, and then we'll